in N.W. Harrison Street in Leesville. Now listen to the message already in progress by Reverend Joseph Garner.
So, we know that we are to be ready at all times. And I want you to know this morning that God does have a word for us. Amen. Let us go to him in prayer. Most heavenly and gracious Father, we thank you on this morning, Lord God. For we know, Lord God, that it is through you that we live, we move, and we have our being. Lord God, I ask right now that you, Lord God, would make yourself big in me this morning so that you will be seen, Lord God, and only your word will be received. I decrease now, Lord God, that you may increase. Have your way in this place, Lord God. Have your way. It is in the precious name of Jesus that we pray. Amen. Amen. If you would turn with me to the book of 2 Corinthians and the 10th chapter. 2 Corinthians, 10th chapter. We do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought in the obedience of Christ. For just a few moments this morning, I would like to use for a subject the anointing as a weapon. The anointing as a weapon. Thank you so much, ushers. One of the things that we shy away from quite a bit is fighting. Most people don't want to fight, don't like to fight. But I'm here to tell you today, as children of God, we are expected to fight. The Word of God lets us know that we will engage in spiritual battle. And in the word, we also find that there are a number of weapons that God has made available for us in order to fight these battles. In our spiritual arsenals, God has placed a weapon called the anointing. And this anointing is a weapon of protection. In ancient times, shepherds would anoint the sheep. They would pour oil on the sheep's head, and they would do this because lice and other insects would often get into the sheep's wool. And when these bugs got near the sheep's head, they would burrow themselves in. They would make their way down to the ear, and it would kill the sheep. So by anointing the sheep's head with this oil, this would make the wool slippery and would make it impossible for the insects to get near the sheep's ears. And this would just make them fall off. They would slide right off. The oil would make the bugs slide right off. We see this type of protection in David's accounting of Psalm 23rd when he says, "Thou anointed my head with oil." If we look at this scripture and put it in the context of how our shepherd, God, takes care of his sheep, then we have the assurance that God takes care of us in the same way. God provides protection for us, for those of us that are, from those who are trying to destroy us. We may get hit. We may get knocked down. The enemy may get on our skin, but they won't take us out because we're protected by the oil. We're protected by the anointing. So whatever may come to destroy us, when it comes in, it's confronted with the oil of God, the anointing of God. And just like the insects on the sheep, it just slides off. Praise Praise God. Hallelujah. Not only is this anointing a weapon of protection, it's also a weapon of empowerment. Acts 1 and 8 says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The anointing is the power of God, the power that is given by the Holy Spirit. It is the power that brought the heavens and the earth into being. It's the same power that created man. And it's that same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It is the anointing that empowered the disciples to go out and be witnesses. And it's the same anointing that empowers us, supernaturally gifting us and empowering us to do whatever we need to serve and carry out God's will. And it's the same anointing that we need to fight the battles that will rage in our lives. So the anointing is a weapon of protection, and it's a weapon of empowerment. Now, one of the most commonly used weapons of protection and empowerment that we use in our society is the gun. There are three basic sequential commands that are usually given to efficiently and effectively operate a gun. And they are ready, aim, and fire. I believe that if we look at these commands, it's going to give us a better understanding of how the anointing is involved, how we can utilize it as a weapon in our lives. The first command is ready. This is the preparation stage. Before you pull the trigger, before you fire a gun, there are some things that need to be done to prepare. To operate efficiently and effectively, your weapon must be clean. You need to have the right ammunition. You have to lock and load your weapon. And you have to take care of it by storing it properly. Otherwise, when you want to use it or when you need to use it, your weapon won't be ready. There's a ready stage, a preparation stage that takes place before we can receive the anointing of God. Contrary to what many of us believe, God doesn't just thrust up and impart his anointing on everybody, although it is available to everybody. Just because we accept Jesus as our Lord and Savior doesn't mean that the anointing of God is automatically activated in our lives. If we take a look at Jesus in the book of John, we see that the anointing of God came upon him at baptism. The word of God tells us that the Spirit of the Lord descended on him like a dove. Jesus needed the anointing in order to carry out the work of the Lord. He needed to be prepared as well. If we look in Matthew chapter 4 and 1, we see that after Jesus was anointed, he was led into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. He didn't step out into his ministry or try to fight any spiritual battles until he had received the anointing of God. If Jesus needed a preparation stage, then we certainly need one. Amen. Now, most people only see the results of the anointing. They see the miracles, the power, the signs and the wonders, but they never realize that there's a high price that must be paid if you want the anointing of God in your life. The anointing comes with a high price. You have to die to your own ego and your own personal desires. You have to learn to put others' needs above your own. You have to be willing to face rejection, because everybody is not going to accept you. And as you allow the Holy Spirit to change your life and mold you and make you, folks ain't gonna wanna have anything to do with this. You have to be willing to accept criticism, because in an anointed life, criticism is just part of the lifestyle. This means you can't always say what's on your mind when people say negative things to you or about you. You can't tell them where to go, even if you're thinking it. If you desire the anointing of God on your life, you can't scheme and plot to get back at folks when they do you wrong. 13, I remember this song I learned in, it was Baptist youth encampment, long, long time ago. And the song said, cast your cares on Jesus. Cast your cares on him. His word is true. He'll see you through. Cast your cares on him. Now, this is taken from 1 Peter, the 5th chapter and the 7th verse, where he tells us to cast our cares upon Jesus. This is the ready stage. This is where we learn to give our cares to Jesus. In this particular stage, that's where we learn to give our cares to Jesus. The rejection, the hurt, the pain, the criticism, no matter what the situation we find ourselves in, no matter how difficult the times may get, Jesus will see you through. But you have to be willing to pay the price of giving Jesus your cares instead of trying to handle them yourself. For those of us who are so independent, so self-sufficient, we don't need anybody to handle our business. That's a high price. In the ready stage, you may have to endure some loneliness. You must be willing to stand alone. The closer you get to God, the lonelier you may feel. There will be some places you can't go, some things you can't do. And as God separates you unto himself for his purpose, others may not understand. There may be people you have to separate from, and there will certainly be some people who will separate from you. You may be called names, holier than thou, holy roller, too good. But just keep in mind, when this happens, you are paying the price for the anointing. I can remember back in my teenage years, up into my early 20s, I didn't have a desire to do a lot of things that other folks were doing. They used to call me L7 Square. Yeah. But what I didn't understand at the time was that God was preparing me. Even then, he was preparing me for his service, preparing me to be used by him. Now, I actually preferred to be in church than to be at a party. If I had to choose between being at a party, going to the park, doing some other things, and going to church, I chose church. Now, that sounds crazy to some of y'all, huh? But I had a desire within me, and I had a desire for something. I didn't know what it was at the time, but I had a desire. I'd heard about the anointing, but I never knew what it was. I knew I wanted more of God. And that's how it is for most of us. We know we want more of God, but we're not sure exactly what it is that we want or what we're looking for. I knew I wanted to be closer to him, just like many of you. So that's why I spent a lot of time in church. That's why you're here today. You want to be closer to God. We spend a lot of time praying because we want to be closer to God. We spend a lot of time in the Word because we want to be closer to God. We spend a lot of time fasting because we want to be closer to God. The anointing is not just going to fall on us haphazard. It's not going to happen that way. We have to want the anointing. Now, in order for the anointing to manifest in our lives as a weapon, we have to have a desire for God and for his ways. Now, in the ready stage, that's the preparation stage, we must die to ourselves and die to our ways and allow the Holy Spirit to transform us into the character of Jesus. The second command is aim. This is the stage where you get your target and focus. Early battlefield commanders would launch a number of huge missiles in the direction of the enemy. And even though the missiles were lethal, they only had a limited effect on the outcome. Many times, it missed the mark. In order for the missile to be effective, you have to direct it against a specific target. The same thing is true with the anointing. For the anointing to operate effectively as a weapon, there must be a specific aim, a specific target. It's not possible for us to be everything to everybody. God gives us gifts and he gives us talents, and he can anoint us to do above anything that we could ever ask of him. We can serve in all sorts of areas of ministry, but he doesn't anoint us to do everything. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says we are one body with many members. This means we don't have to try to bring down every high place by ourselves. We don't have to try to break every stronghold by ourselves. We are not alone. Hallelujah. God has set us apart for specific tasks and specific ministry. Now in the aim stage, we get our eyes focused on the target, on what God has anointed us to do. And in order for the anointing on our lives to be effective as a weapon, we must be in the right place, the right ministry area, offering the right service. Where is your foxhole? Where is your battle position? Where is the area that God has anointed you to serve and to defend militarily? Some people are anointed to preach or to teach or to sing. Some are anointed to heal. Some are anointed to encourage or cook. Some are anointed to work with young folks or the homeless or those who are in prison. To be effective in spiritual warfare, you need to fight and defend from the position that God assigns you to. If you are trying to operate in an area that God did not send you to, your aim will be off. There's one more thing we need to understand about aim. When we fight, we have to be careful that we don't point our guns in the wrong direction. Some might call that friendly fire. Ephesians 6:12 says, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." So most people tend to focus on who our battle is with. But what we also need to focus on is what our battle is not and who it is not against. Our battle is not against flesh and blood. Most times people are reluctant to fight Satan, but we all have become experts when it comes to battling each other. We are very quick to defend and punish in anger, or to criticize and rebuke and offend or condemn others. But there are very few people who have not battled flesh and blood. We should not be under any circumstances at any time, for any reason, should we be battling against flesh and blood. Under any circumstances, for no reason. There's no reason for us to be fighting with each other. One of the reasons the anointing doesn't work is because we're always fighting with each other. The problem is because our aim is off. We're not battling the one who really is the cause of these problems. While we're fighting our leaders, our co-workers, our families, our brothers and sisters in Christ, Satan is running rampant on the earth, and it's our fault. When we fight, we must take aim at the right target. Amen. The third command is to fire. This is the stage where you go forth to hit your target. The stage where you move into the area and begin to work. But what happens if we fire and then we miss the target or our weapon malfunctions? What happens if we are in the place where God wants us to be, but there still doesn't seem to be any power in our service to him? The anointing doesn't seem to be present with us. We need to do a weapons check. We may lose the power of God on our lives if we don't acknowledge God as the source of the anointing. It's not our anointing. It's not. It doesn't belong to us. It's God's anointing. And we get caught up in self and we forget the source of the anointing. If we seek God's glory for ourselves or try to use the anointing for personal gain or try to operate in our own strength, we may lose the anointing. When we cease to remember our God and his blessings upon us, when we start to think we are moving people by what we say, when we start counting how many people were laid out in the spirit or how many people were healed when we pray, when we brag about what I've done, you should have seen me. I was so powerful. I was so awesome. I was unstoppable. We forgot the source. This reminds me of the parable of the rich fool in Luke 12, where a rich man had an overabundance of crops and decided he didn't have enough room for all his wealth. So he said, I'll tear down the barns I have built, and I'll build bigger ones. And then he pats himself on the back because of all that he's accumulated. And God says to him, you fool, tonight your soul is required of you. Now, how does this particular scripture apply to firing and missing the target? Well, this man was storing stuff for himself. When we start talking about I did this and I did that, and that means we're storing stuff too. We're putting things in barns for ourselves. We're storing up praise for ourselves. We're storing up glory for ourselves. We're storing up honor for ourselves. And when we stop looking at God as the source of the anointing and we start exalting ourselves over him, we will miss the target and our weapons will malfunction. We will miss the target if the oil is going out of our lamps as well. We have to refuel. We may still be preaching and praying and singing and encouraging, but the firepower is missing. The key is not to let our oil run out. Oil evaporates unless it is replenished. If you're not praying, if you're not studying the word, if you're not being obedient to God, check your oil. It may be low. It may be out. Sometimes, once we move into our battle stations, we become so busy fighting that we don't go back and refuel. I don't know of any car that runs on gas that can continue to run when it's empty.
Amen.
Just like there's a price to pay to get the anointing, there's a price to pay to keep it. We have to continue to pray and study the word and stay before the Lord. If there's a hole in your vessel, your oil will leak out. The hole may be tiny and undetectable. It may not be visible to those around you, at least not initially. It may be a hole of bitterness, a hole of unforgiveness, a hole of self-pity, a hole of sin. Usually before the hole appears in your vessel, you start neglecting prayer, neglecting the fellowshipping of the Holy Spirit. Stop coming to church. Stop meditating on the word. And before long, the anointing is gone. Romans 11 and 29 tells us that the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. They're still there. So you may still be able to minister, but the power of the anointing will not be there. You may still be able to sing, but the power of the anointing will not be there. It's important that we understand that the call of God on our lives does not equate to the anointing. The gifts and callings remain permanently throughout our lives, but they are irrevocable. But the anointing is not permanent. All we have to do is ask Samuel, Saul. When Samuel went to tell Saul that the anointing was being removed from him as king of Israel. It's not permanent. It's contingent. It's gradual. And it can be lost if we neglect to behave properly.
Yes, yes, yes.
But when we are ready, when we are prepared, when we aim, we're in the place where God wants us to be. Then we can fight and expect to hit our targets and be successful in what God has called us to do. Just know when you fight, there's going to be a change. There's going to be a difference, not only in your life, but in the lives of people around you. When the anointing is working effectively, when the anointing is operating in your life, when the anointing is a weapon that God has designed it to be, then when you fight, chains will be broken. When the anointing is working effectively, yokes will be destroyed. When the anointing is working effectively, broken hearts are going to be mended. The sick will be healed. Confused minds will be reordered. Those who are oppressed will be set free. Marriages will be bonded closer together, and family relationships will be restored. When the anointing is working effectively in your life, we can go back and we can take what the devil has stolen from us. We can open blinded eyes. We can tear down walls of prejudice and move mountains of pride and hate. We can do these things when the anointing is working effectively in our life. We can restore and bring people back to God. It's the anointing. It's the anointing. We can't do without it. It's a weapon you must have in your life. Amen.
Neighbor, say, neighbor, the anointing makes the difference. Hallelujah. It makes the difference because God anoints you with purpose. Amen. He qualifies you with purpose. We thank you, Minister Lackey, for the message on today. Ready, aim, fire. Ready, aim, fire. As she was ministering today, I couldn't help, Brother Wilson, he's still over there, I couldn't help but remember when our wonderful sheriff, amen, blessed me to carry this thing here, and I had to go to the range and do a firing, learn how to shoot my 9mm, and they gave us 50 bullets. They gave us 50 bullets, and we all had a target, you know. And there were like five targets lined up next to each other. And I was at number one, and I think Brother Wilson was at number two. And so they give you the 50 bullets, and after you finish done firing, they go and count to see how many. Amen. And for some reason, my target only had 20 holes, and the target next to me had 75. I thought I was ready. I was showing up aiming, but I was hitting somebody else's target. Hallelujah. You better make sure you have the anointing. Because I'm here to tell you, the devil is gonna attack you. He's gonna come at you every which way he can. Amen. And there is nothing but the power of the Holy Ghost, the anointing of God, amen, that can defeat that low-down and dirty devil. As we stand all over this place.
We at the Pleasant Hill Baptist Church hope that Reverend Garner's message blessed and revived your spirit. Thank you for listening, and be sure and join us in Leesville for our regularly scheduled Sunday and midweek services. If you'd like a copy of this message, phone us at 337-238-1779. The Pleasant Hill Baptist Church, the place where God blesses his people.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power, beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of